This is the way the Times newspaper phrases it. The hunt is on. But all of the major print and online news services talking about a witch hunt, which is on within the ANC to try and track down and punish in some way those ANC MPs who voted for the motion of no confidence or abstained. And some of the language which is being used is extraordinary. A bloke by the name of Ricardo Mthembu, who is mayor of the Kwadukuza municipality in KwaZulu-Natal and chair of the ANC's region, the Kwadukuza region, he says the DA is the enemy of the revolution and as such supporting its motion is treasonous. Really? You vote your conscience. You vote your belief that the president of your party is bad for your party and for the country, and that's treasonous? Yuh, some of the language. It is quite extraordinary. And Lindy Wezulu is the person closest to Jacob Zuma, who has the highest office. She is a minister who has been the most outspoken about this. And don't exactly know how they will try and out those who voted for the motion and what disciplinary steps they could take. Professor Pierre de Vos might be able to answer the second of those questions for us. Claude Leon Foundation Chair in Constitutional Governance at UCT. Pierre, good afternoon. Given what the Constitutional Court judgment said about the higher duty of an MP being to the country than to the party, would there be a way for the ANC, should they be able to find out who voted for the motion, to take action, disciplinary action?
Well, the constitution of the ANC, just like the constitution of the DA, contains wording to the effect that if you're a public representative, you have to basically obey the party lines. They are different. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And if you don't, then you can be disciplined. The interesting question, which I've been discussing with some colleagues, is whether that provision in the constitution of the various parties that tries to instill discipline, whether those provisions are constitutionally valid. Because in a previous constitutional court judgment, the constitutional court said in the Ramakatse case that party constitutions have to be constitutionally compliant. It has to comply with the South African constitution. And in, as you pointed out, the UDM judgment on the secret ballot said, well, you have an obligation to the constitution and to hold the executive accountable, and that's your first duty as an MP and only secondary to the party. So one could at least make an argument that those provisions in those party constitutions are invalid and could be declared such if you take into a court. But of course, we'll have to wait and see if it is ever done and what the court will rule.
Yeah, and obviously, if somebody is chased out of the ANC or docked a month's salary or something, it would require them to approach the court and say, "I believe I've been treated unfairly." But given those two judgments to which you referred, the chances are that the Labour Court or the High Court, I'm not sure which would be the appropriate court to look at this, would say, "Uh-uh, you can't." All they did was what they're constitutionally entitled to do.
Yes, the UDM judgment on the secret ballot was actually quite extraordinary, because before that judgment, many of us thought, well, you know, it's one of the flaws in our system that we have this proportional representation system, which on the one hand is very fair because your vote is never lost, but on the other hand really gives the party bosses, the extra parliamentary party bosses, so much power because they can really control the people in the parliament. So that parliament becomes really a hollow thing because those people in parliament only do what the leadership of the party tells them. But the UDM judgment really says, no, those people are elected to represent not the party, but us, the people who vote. And so they have to do what is right and not what the party tells them is right, which is quite an extraordinary thing. It's difficult to enforce, but it's potentially quite a radical shift to try and, in a way, how I see it, I'm sure the court hasn't thought about it this way, but it's almost a shift that the court has introduced here to try and mitigate the negative effects of proportional representation electoral system.
And, Pierre, for those people who are interested in what the Constitution and what relevant legislation says about dissolving Parliament and whether you can achieve that by having fewer than 350 MPs, because 51 MPs of the DA have resigned, they can go along to the Daily Maverick, because you make it quite clear there that this is not the case, and the only way to dissolve Parliament is through a 201 vote majority on a motion. But I was interested in finding out from you, again, I don't know whether this will come into practical play, but could the DA argue that this should also be a secret vote, or was the Constitutional Court judgment on that UDM application very specific to a motion of no confidence?
Yes, I think they could make the argument, but I think if you follow the UDM judgment, they will probably and should lose the argument, because the court said the default is open. It shouldn't be secret except in exceptional circumstances, and that would be where there are threats and so on and so on, but also very importantly, where the vote is to hold the executive accountable. Now, dissolving Parliament is not really a mechanism to hold the executive accountable. It is ultimate accountability, yes, but it is not accountability in the sense that we envisage in the separation of powers system between the legislature and the executive. So I would be quite surprised if, firstly, it would be granted, and secondly, whether it would be granted or should be granted, given what the Constitutional Court had said and how it actually, and many people don't understand this, said that the secret ballot should be only granted in very limited and exceptional circumstances. It shouldn't be the rule, because that is bad for democracy and for accountability.
Thank you very much. That is Professor Pierre de Vos, Claude Lyon Foundation Chair in Constitutional Governance at UCT. It